the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
Now, to a moment earlier in the week when US President Donald Trump called the Syrian leader a very young, attractive, tough guy. It was a jaw-dropping moment in the midst of a jaw-dropping trip. Donald Trump travelled to the Gulf, where we saw him dining out on McDonald's and enjoying the lavish displays of wealth of Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. Trump admired everything from the prince to the camels. So can flattery get you everywhere? Professor Ian Robertson of Trinity College Dublin joins me now, and he's been giving it some thought. Ian, does it work, flattery?
Yes, it works for some people, and generally, the more narcissistic you are, the more power you have, the more likely it is to work. So it's a form of a signal of submission to a dominant person. And the more intoxicated people are with their powerful dominant position, the more they will both expect and need and desire flattery.
Is there a link between that sense of power or social standing and your own self-awareness that perhaps makes people in those situations much more amenable to flattery?
Yes. So one of the features of having great power. Now, some people can have great power and it doesn't go to their heads. Not many, but some do, or great wealth and it doesn't go to their heads. But it's very easy for great power or wealth to go to your head. And by that, I mean you become so you become so focused on future rewards and goals and further increasing your power and wealth that your brain's ability to self-monitor, to be self-aware, gets diminished, as does your capacity for empathy. So you can say things and do things that seem ridiculous to other people but seem entirely okay to you. That's because your self-awareness is diminished and your ability to see things from other people's points of view is reduced.
There is also there's a distinction, isn't there, in well, I won't say personality types, but certainly traits, where some people are looking forward towards reward while others are pulling back. How does that work?
Yeah, so we're all humans and all species, in fact, are caught between two basic impulses, one to go forward for reward and the other to retreat from punishment. And to survive, you really need a balance between these two. However, most of the time, we have to be of a slight advantage to the reward-seeking system. Now, these two systems compete with each other. They try and inhibit each other. So if you get someone who's in a state of anxiety and fear, that can dominate and squish their ability to think of future rewards. But the opposite can happen. If you get a lot of power and a lot of wealth, your reward system can come to dominate and inhibit your ability to perceive risk, to be empathic, to be self-aware, and it can really distort and damage your ability to make judgments. So that's why it's very dangerous to have people who are so intoxicated with power.
Well, if you're delivering flattery to the right person, somebody who's going to be receptive. I'm thinking about, let's say, for example, you're out for a social evening and somebody comes up to you and says, oh, God, Ian, that was brilliant. That book you wrote or that piece or whatever was absolutely fantastic. And you go home and you say to your wife, you know, that guy, Michael, he's a very, very nice guy, isn't he? And then you think, you know, maybe we should invite him to XYZ. Or you may go home to your wife and say, did you hear your man, Michael? He's an absolutely fake, obsequious twat.
Yeah, you know what? I fear that I'd go the first route, probably. Yeah, that's the vulnerability.
Regardless of what they say.
That's the vulnerability. You have to very, very strong
self-critical
approach to yourself, yeah.
There is another, there's an interesting quote. Edmund Burke, the 18th century Irish social thinker, said that flattery corrupts both the receiver and the giver. And you can sense that there's an element of truth about that, but he's also aiming for a very high moral standard, isn't he?
Yes, he is. And it is true because it's flattery is not authentic. And whenever we behave inauthentically, it is not good for our character, if you like. for our souls. But flattery is a form of manipulation, essentially, to try and, there's a powerful person, you flatter them so that you hope they will give you some favor because they're in a position of power. And the person in the position of power just likes, in fact, needs their ego stroked. The bigger the ego gets, the more strokes it needs.
So the more effective it will be.
So they have a very high need for flattery. So
the more effective it will be.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, President Trump has such a high need for extremes of flattery. And if ever anyone criticizes or obstructs him, the vengeful rage that pours down on them, as we can see, is enormous. And that's because his ego is so big and so, but also so vulnerable.
Well, I suppose as well, in the intro and the example we were giving, he was the person actually dishing out the flattery as well as perhaps maybe enjoying being on the receiving end. I think my favourite quote about flattery is, the flattery is like chewing gum. Enjoy it, but don't swallow it.
I think that's exactly right. We all need a bit of self-criticism and ability to laugh at ourselves. And Trump never laughs. One certainly can't laugh at himself.
One other thing, finally, what's the power distance index?
So this was a Dutch psychologist, social psychologist called Hofgreff, and he said different cultures have a different acceptance that some people have power over others. So it's called, and so you get a, so in very authoritarian cultures, particularly in Asia, but also in Napoleonic countries, France and Germany, there's an acceptance that the professor, for instance, in a university can call the shots and has huge authority, and you don't really talk back to him. And that's a real problem for, it was part of the reason that Chernobyl happened was because the people who saw that things were going wrong in the nuclear power station didn't dare to mention it to the people in authority. And a lot of air crashes happened because of this. So it's an acceptance that differs between cultures and just how much you defer to an authoritarian or a structure of authority. And Ireland has quite a low power distance index, as does Australia, Germany a bit higher, France a bit higher, but some of the Asian countries have a very high tolerance. So if you're the boss, you can call the shots.
Yeah, and we might also be more inclined to tell the boss how it actually is.
Yeah,
Professor, I'll have to wrap it up there. Professor Ian Robertson of Trinity College, thank you very much for joining us on the program.
Thank you very much.
That's all we have time for today. The show was produced by Aideen McLaughlin and Emma Laffin. Our broadcast coordinator was Caitlin Clark, and Mark McGrath was on sound. Enjoy the sunshine until next week. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.